300. Now, late November 2023, I don't think anyone will ever forget it, it was the worst night of violence in Dublin for many decades. Arsonists, looters and rioters were caught on CCTV as they turned O'Connell Street into a scene of total destruction. Buses, Garda cars, Lewis trams were set on fire. Gardaí were attacked with stones and bottles and assaulted in several different instances. And as I said, it was a huge night of civil unrest with major ramifications for policing in Dublin and criticism of the response of an Garda Síochána or their lack of, I suppose, preparation and equipment to deal with incidents like this. Now, the last 2 years, thousands of hours of CCTV have been trawled through and Gardaí have been putting together their cases against several different people who were identified from wrongdoing or of wrongdoing on that night. And over the last week, week and a half or so, we are seeing several of those people being brought before the courts and being convicted and sentenced. With me on the line to talk about this is Nicola Donnelly, who's courts correspondent with the Irish Daily Star and Irish Mirror. Nicola, good morning to you and thanks for joining me on the programme.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Good, very good. Look, it's taken a while to get here. Now, I know this was a complex investigation. I know there were thousands of hours of CCTV that had to be trawled through. But we look like we're getting to end game in quite a number of the people who were involved in the worst of the rioting. Would that be fair to say?
It would be, Jerry. Now, like, so far, there's been more than 60 people have been arrested. The Garda investigation does continue. Now, we have to remember this was 2 years ago, November. So an awful lot of work, as you say, hours, thousands of hours of CCTV had to be viewed, you know, trying to work out and identify the culprits. But at least 50 suspects are still before the courts, which is quite a large number. I'm sure there will be more to come in the months and year to come. But in the past week or two, there's been at least five now have been faced justice.
And with that in mind, can you just take it through a few of them? One of those is Evan Moore. He was involved in burning a Lewis tram. Is that right?
Indeed. He was only 20 years old and he's from Donegal in Dublin. He was jailed for 3 years after he admitted to rioting and setting fire to the Lewis tram. Now, the court had heard that he had broke the windows of the Lewis and pushed a burning bin inside, and the tram went up in flames, which we've saw those dramatic and horrific photos at the time of the tram in flames and the aftermath. And it was estimated that about €5 million worth of damage was caused to that particular Lewis, including the electrics and the whole Lewis itself.
Yeah, €5 million worth of damage by burning that Lewis tram. And one of the remarkable aspects of that case was that text messages from his mother were revealed during the court case, pleading with him to leave Dublin city centre.
Indeed, they were, and they were read out in court. It was quite, you know, shocking indeed that his mother was telling him to stay away, come home, get away from it. And, you know, because it was all live streamed and she obviously had recognised him in the midst of it all.
Yeah, remarkable stuff. Who else has been jailed? There was a 6.5 year jail sentence for Declan Donaghy, 28 years of age, in November 2024. It's one of the biggest sentences to be handed down so far.
Indeed, and that was last November, so that was last year. He was one of the first, and it was one of the toughest sentences so far, as you said, at 6.5 years. He admitted to setting fire to a patrol car, attacked another, and then joined in an assault on a migrant accommodation centre. The court heard he shouted abuse at officers as he was led away from the actual court sentencing. Now, the Garda car that he burnt out, that was estimated at about 20,000 worth of damage caused to that. And then with the damage caused to attacking the other car, it was around €8,000. So, I mean, a significant amount there again, €28,000 worth of damage, along with the €5 million with the tram for Evan Moore.
Yeah, Nicola, one of the more, shocking incidents of the night, of a lot of shocking incidents, was the assault of members of an Garda Síochána, particularly Garda Sergeant Brendan Eddery. He gave an emotional victim impact statement describing the fear for his life. And this was in relation to Thomas Fox, who was jailed for 5.5 years at the beginning of this month. That was for the attack on him during the riot.
It was indeed. And as you said, the Garda Sergeant, it was very, very, very strong and emotional impact statement he gave. I think footage was shown of the actual attack because that was live streamed as well. Thomas Fox, he's 22. He was jailed for 5.5 years for that attack on the Garda Sergeant. And the live streaming of it, and it became one of the defining moments of that night, live streaming of that attack on the sergeant as his colleague came to help him. And there was a lot of hustle and bustling going on with others joining in and that as well. So it was quite shocking.
Yeah, it certainly was. And that's an element of why, I suppose, in the modern media world, the modern social media world, these riots had such an impact, you think, Nicola? The fact that a lot of this stuff Indeed. Was live streamed by the people who were it carrying was. It out while they were doing it.
Indeed, it was. And I mean, I actually remember I was working that day and I was home that evening. A colleague of mine was on the late shift. He was actually there. He was telling us all in our work group, you know, go online. This is happening. It's all kicking off. They're burning out places, cars, Lewis's. I remember personally watching it going, this isn't Dublin. This can't be happening. I think everyone else was in the same boat, thinking the same thing, going, what is going on?
Yeah. Is this the start of this, I suppose, end game period of it, where adjudications will be made by the courts over the next while, and as you said, quite a number more people waiting their cases over the next while?
Indeed. Like, I mean, I think it's shown that, you know, the law is there, and it no one is going to get away with this, what they've done. The perpetrators, as we said, a lot of them have been ID'd. I'm sure there is a lot more to be ID'd, and that process is ongoing and the investigations continue. So, I mean, thousands and thousands of footage of CCTV footage is being examined. There's probably more work to be done on it. But the fact that we have seen several already face justice, and as I said, there's at least 50 suspects still before the courts, which means they have been charged and they will go through the process then of their court cases. And if they're pleading not guilty, they'll face a trial.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, well, look, from that then, finally, Nicola, there's been an argument arising out of this with the length of time it's taken to get to this stage. In the UK, they do things differently when it comes to civil unrest. There are speedy trials. Sometimes they're even televised to try and deter people from getting involved. Is that something you could ever see here? Or is it the slow, methodical, I suppose, way that it needs to be done to make sure things are gotten right? There's just a difference that's emerged over the last number of years with the way things are handled in UK versus here when it comes to these large civil unrest incidents.
There is indeed, but there is a court process here. Everyone deserves to, you know, have the right to have their fair process. So, I mean, a case is listed, it goes through, you know, being put back for disclosure, for statements, for different things. It has to take its line in the court list, because there's others there that are waiting as well. And because of COVID, that threw the lists way behind and the trials way behind because there was no court decisions at the time.
Are we still dealing with a backlog from that time, Nicola, do you think?
I think a lot of the backlog has... I think a lot of that backlog now has been cleared. I know I'm aware of some of the courts, the district courts that I've covered. They've put on special days to sit for sitting to catch up. So a lot of other courts are doing that too, especially with the districts, because every case comes into the district first. So they have been putting on special days to help clear the list, because most of them might sit only once a week or twice a week. So the list is improving.
Okay. All right, Nicola, listen, brilliant stuff. Thanks a million for taking us through some of those cases and bringing us up to date on what has happened and what continues to happen as the search for justice goes on for perpetrators of violence on that night. Thanks for talking to me this morning.
Thank you, Jerry.
Brilliant. Nicola Donnelly there with us on the line, covering a lot of those cases, courts correspondent with the Irish Daily Star and Irish Mirror. And what do you make of that? 2 years on, yes. But heavy sentences being set down and consequences being delivered for those who were involved in wrongdoing on that night. What's your memories of it? Get in touch with us on the programme, 0667 123 666. You can text and WhatsApp us on 083 300 3300. We want to hear from you on the show. Still to come, Hours to Protect. We'll be talking about Castledrome National School outside Kiel, and we'll be looking at the results of a special project in collaboration with the Institute of Climate, Sound and Society in Harvard University. That's still to come on the show. We'll be talking as well a little bit more about International Credit Union Day. That's next.